Podcasts are an independent way for podcasters like me to bring a local voice to your ears. At the Spent the Rent podcast, we strive to raise awareness of topics that affect the often underrepresented. Our title sponsor, Oregon Cashflow Pro, offers free money management advice that can help you take control of your finances. At OregonCashflowPro.com, you will find videos to guide you towards your goal of financial freedom. For more info, there will be a link in the show notes. The following podcast is available on all major streaming sites, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. You can now listen to all previous episodes, donate to the podcast, and buy shirts directly from the Spent the Rent podcast at our newly designed official website, strpod.com.
You are listening to the Spent the Rent podcast, and now, here's your host, Patty Rose.
Hello, I am Patty Rose. Welcome to the Spent the Rent podcast. Today, my guest is Justin Pluid, Justin from the Flock Pod. Justin, welcome.
Thanks for having me, man. It's good to be back.
Yeah, we had talked to you, talked about getting a haircut. With anybody listening, they can attest that you actually are in need of a haircut. It has been quite a while. It's like almost like
you were boycotting
haircuts.
Yes. Yes, I was. Well, I'm kind of an at-home guy. You know, I usually just like a snake, grow it out really long and then just grab the buzz clips and just shave it all off. But this time, got to get cleaned up. Got to be looking pretty.
Yeah. So he's going to come see me at Dudley's Campus Barbershop in Eugene, Oregon. Look at that. So there's a reason also you're getting married. That's a pretty big, exciting thing to announce. That is in the beginning of May.
Yes, sir.
If you didn't get an invite, that's because you don't matter. No, I'm sure that it's tough. You've lived here a long time, know a lot of people. That's why I wanted to talk to you about some football. This is a huge weekend for sports in Eugene, in Lane County. We had the Eugene Marathon. We had the spring game we're going to talk about in a little bit. You are one of the co-hosts of the Flock Pod. I know that I looked and it's been since January since you guys have done an episode. So it's time. So I thought it was a great opportunity to have you on to at least, you know, do a faux Flock Pod for today. So thank you so much.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we've been on a little bit of a hiatus. You know, weddings take a lot of time and energy. Been working a lot to try to support that too. So the Flock Pod will be back. Don't worry, flockers. We will definitely be making a comeback. Hopefully this week we'll get some new content out there, some new duck tent for everybody. But yeah, just grateful to have the opportunity to talk some duck football with you, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So the NFL draft started on Thursday. And it almost just came so quick. I was on vacation and then came back and it was like, bam, here we are. So we're going to talk about a lot of stuff that affects the Ducks and how the NFL draft matters to us here in Lane County. But before we do, I do want to talk about kind of the beginning of the draft because it's almost unfair to skip over it. The first three picks were a quick run on quarterbacks. Chicago took Caleb Williams from USC. Washington took Jaden Daniels. The Washington Commanders, that is. New England took Drake May from North Carolina. What are your thoughts on the first three picks for quarterback? Do you think that they got the order right? Do you think there was a reach? What do you think?
I don't think they got the order right. If I'm Washington, I would have taken Drake May over Jaden Daniels. I worry about Jaden being able to stay healthy in the league. He puts his body on the line a lot. He's an athletic kid. It's just going to be interesting to see if he can really stand up to the week-to-week beating that those quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks like him that like to run and don't really like to slide, if he can really stand up to that. But I think Caleb Williams is an absolute smash at number one. I mean, that's a perfect pick, I think, for Chicago. I think the kid's going to be great. Actually just swooped him up in my first Dynasty rookie draft this morning.
Wow.
Excited to bring him onto the squad. But I think he's going to be special. I really do. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, the Patrick Mahomes level kind of special.
That's
but I
a think pretty he's tall. Be... That's it. I mean, the expectations can't
oh,
be
for
that,
sure.
You know, but
they're
but,
unreal right now for him.
But they're saying that, you know, I mean, he's a Chicago Bears quarterback now, so he will not succeed. That is actually by sheer history, the odds are against him. Now, I mean, time, obviously that means nothing, you know, because it's the 53 players on the active roster today and the coaching staff are what's going to make it happen. It has nothing to do with, you know, Walter Payton. But
very true. But he landed in a great position. I mean, he's got Keenan Allen out there to throw to. They also picked up Roman Dunze at the number 9 pick to throw to. I mean, he's got a lot of weapons. Cole Kmet. I mean, he's maybe in the best position ever for a number 1 pick to land in.
I think that's true. And you know, they've had some experience with a younger quarterback as of late that they've been building around. So they've been building for that position, and moved on from Justin Fields, who's now in Pittsburgh. It's going to be interesting to watch the Steelers, because Pittsburgh has Russell Wilson, who's on his way out, and Justin Fields, who's, you know, proving it, but they're both in expiring contracts. And so they're going to be fighting, because I can tell you right now, Russell Wilson doesn't think he's done. So,
he never thinks he's done.
No. And so, yeah, there's too many to talk about, you know, that aren't Ducks. And I'm going to mention a few. I know that there's a Beavers offensive lineman that was picked, pretty early on, but I just don't know how much, you know, interest Duck fans honestly have right now in the Beavers moving forward. Other than the Civil War, the Beavers aren't really going to be a contender. So congrats to him and everyone drafted, but we're not going to talk about it too much. I will mention the Chargers took an offensive tackle from Notre Dame, Joe Alt, you know, who, and this is a good pick. In the first pick in the Jim Harbaugh era was an offensive tackle protecting a quarterback. Jim Harbaugh is now the coach of the Chargers. He was a quarterback himself in the NFL. You can talk about how this is going to be a huge pick. Joe Alt is a grand slam offensive lineman. You know, it's like when you get picked in the top 10 as an offensive lineman, you know that person's going to be 10 Pro Bowls. And is this an example of that?
You know, usually, yeah, I like Joe a lot. I think he's got some heavy feet. He's got some cement in his feet, but I think he's going to be a good prospect. And I love the quote that Jim Harbaugh had, you know, at one of his press conferences. He's like, all right, I know everybody's going to ask me about weapons, but at this franchise, we believe offensive linemen are weapons. And that's just Jim Harbaugh to a T. I don't know if you need a good laugh, if you're having a bad day, just go to YouTube and look up Jim Harbaugh's press conferences and you'll have a good cackle. He definitely brings it during his pressers. But I think Joe's a great pick. I mean, Chargers definitely have a lot of work, and they did pick up some offensive, you know, skill weapons later on in the draft, which is good for Herbert. But I mean, they've got a lot of work to do with that roster. And I'm curious to see how quickly Harbaugh's mentality can kind of leak into that locker room, and because they're going to have to play above board to talent, be able to compete. Sure. Exactly.
That's what happens when you have a quarterback like Herbert, where you have to pay them, you know, and I've said it a lot. I don't know how teams like the Ravens are managing to have the people on their payroll that they do. Teams like the Rams have done it in the past, where they have a small window to make it happen. Yeah. You know, not like we talked about Mahomes. They've had to redo the way that they worked it, and I guarantee that's going to limit their window. As much as Mahomes may be great, this Super Bowl that they just won, they had to eke out with, they, like you had just said, they maximized their talent like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. So that, yeah.
Well, you can't miss on picks. You know, that's the biggest thing. You know, the Chargers missed on that Quentin Johnson pick, and that was just, I mean, people were on the fence about it at the time, but I mean, I think it's shown, unless he has a breakout this year, which I just don't see with his athletic ability. I mean, that was a whiff. That was an absolute whiff.
No. So that'll be interesting to see, you know, Notre Dame offensive lineman playing for the Chargers. The AFC West is going to be loaded for Duck fans. We're going to talk about that more and more as we go along. Before we get to them, we got two more picks to mention before we get to the Ducks. At the number 8 pick from Washington, it has to be mentioned, Michael Penix. I was kind of surprised. I personally am not sold on Michael Penix. We may disagree as far as an NFL quarterback. The crazy weird part about this pick was that the Falcons had just signed Kirk Cousins, took him from the Vikings. Kirk Cousins, they signed to a 4-year, something like $130 million, whatever. A lot of money every year. It's a weird pick to be picking a quarterback that's probably not ready, so maybe they just decided, we're going to get the quarterback room going where we're going to have one that can teach the other. They're not similar quarterbacks. It's an interesting move.
You know, and I think this speaks to just a bigger trend. I mean, because Kirk Cousins, real money-wise, he's got 2 years, about $90 million by the time if they want to void it after that second year. So you're looking, you know, for Penix to be sitting for 2 years, potentially. But Kirk Cousins also coming off an Achilles tear. You know, how healthy is that leg? You know, is he going to be ready to go for 17 weeks, 18 weeks in the NFL? And we've seen a trend now where backup quarterbacks play a lot in the NFL now, you know? And so I think the Falcons saw they had a strength at quarterback, and instead of looking to supplement some of their weaknesses, like defensive line, corner, saved basically everything, the entire everything. Defense.
Yeah.
The offense is pretty loaded. You know, they've taken skill players with the top eight pick, you know, for the past couple seasons now. They just decided to double down on one of their strengths. And where you lie on this pick, I think, comes down to what you think about Penix just as a player. I am higher on Penix than I am JJ McCarthy, and we're going to get to him in a minute. But if I'm the Falcons and I need a development guy, I need a guy that's going to be a little younger at the start of that second contract, I think JJ just makes a little bit more sense. So the Penix aspect of it is what kind of confuses me, but they must have just really fell in love with the kid. And I think there's something to be said about his talent, his arm strength, his ability to, you know, put the ball into tight windows. I think his accuracy is maybe a little overstated because he was literally throwing to three wide receivers that all got taken, plus, I think, in the top three rounds of the draft.
He's left-handed, so people don't know what it's supposed to look like. You know, they just think they're like yeah. That was an interesting pass. I don't know. The thing with the Falcons picking him right before the Vikings took, you had just said JJ McCarthy at 10. It's kind of an interesting move. It's like JJ McCarthy, I think, is going to also be somebody that's going to have to build a little bit, but probably will be doing it a little quicker as far as getting on the field. I wonder, since there was some conversation, and who knows if this stuff is true, but there was a lot of talk that the Vikings had reached out to the Chargers about Justin Herbert, and was like, hey, would you want to jump the gun to get JJ McCarthy? Which, all of this was a really interesting tidbit, because now it makes you think, was JJ McCarthy not their first, or was Michael Penix not the Vikings' first pick? They were floating to trade up, you know, with the Vikings to trade up. That might just be because they thought that they could get Jim Harbaugh, because he coached JJ McCarthy at Michigan. They won a national championship. But I don't know. I mean, that's the cool thing about draft day. You know, if all these different storylines that maybe the Vikings were bluffing on what they wanted, because they thought that they could play on somebody else's desire on having a quarterback that he coached in college. But I don't know. Interesting the way that it went, but I'm not a huge JJ McCarthy fan either. I don't think either of them are going to be instant success, but what do I know? I mean, I sit here and talk about politics normally, but so now number 12, this is where it was big. There's a lot of defensive picks scattered in there that I'm not going to mention. We'll learn more about that as the time goes, but number 12 is when Ducks fans could start paying attention. Number 12 to the Denver Broncos quarterback, Bo Nix. 32-year-old Bo Nix. He's been in college since the 70s. No, he's like a year older than some of the other quarterbacks. But
yeah,
talk about Bo Nix and how I think this is a great fit with Denver. I know they're going to be a struggling team. Everybody remembers differently than what was true, though. Denver ended the season last year kind of hot. And Denver, in the middle of, not the very end of the season, but kind of the three-quarter mark, they were beating top-tier teams. And I think people forget that. So they're like, oh, Denver's terrible. I'm like, not necessarily. Not necessarily. I think they got a great coach. So what do you think about this Bo Nix pick?
I want to preface this by saying I love Bo Nix as a human being. I think Bo Nix is an absolute great guy. I think he's a great guy to add to your locker room. This is Sean Payton basically saying, I'm a better coach than anybody in the NFL because I identified my guy, and not only am I going to take him, I'm going to take him probably 30 picks higher than any other team in the NFL had him. I mean, that's the consensus. That's what's coming out of it. I mean, if you're listening to what's going on, I mean, his over under on DraftKings was 32.5.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were not expecting him to go this high. So this is Sean Payton just, you know, saying, I got a guy, I know this is the guy I want. And I mean, I think there's something to be said for Bo and his ability to process. You know, there's a story going around that they gave him the playbook the night before the workout. He came in the next day at the workout. He looked like he'd been running the offense for 3 to 4 years.
Wow.
That I don't doubt at all. I think Bo's an incredibly intelligent quarterback. I think he's going to be able to do that part of the game really well. I worry about some things over the middle, some of those timing passes, if he's going to be able to read things quick enough and process quick enough live, as opposed to, you know, having that time to kind of, you know, do things overnight. Overall, I think this is a good fit for him because Sean Payton is a quarterback's guru. He's shown, you know, he took a guy like Drew Brees. You know, he's out there talking, you know, about how much he wanted Patrick Mahomes, and then they got swiped. Even did like a weird Bo Nix Patrick Mahomes comparison, which I'm not a huge fan of. That just puts too much pressure on the kid.
Sure.
But overall, I think this is a great landing spot for Bo.
No, I think this is
one of, if not the best landing spots he could have had in the NFL. And so as a Duck fan, I'm really excited about that, just to see, because we, I mean, like you said, now the AFC West is very, very interesting.
Yeah.
very interesting.
I mean, you know, now in the AFC, we'll get to that. You know, the second Duck picked was the center that was protecting Bo Nix all season. I personally got to know Jackson. Jackson Powers Johnson was drafted by the Raiders. Jackson was a customer of ours in the barbershop. Him and his dad came in right when he got into town, and he came in all 4 years, and or 3 years, because he did leave early. And he's an absolute stud. He's an absolute awesome human being. Super down to earth. You know, he's just approachable. You can talk to him like you talk to everyone, which is not always true for all the athletes, you know. And I don't blame them for kind of, they're here to play football, but they're supposed to be here to go to school, but that's not a thing.
That's another question.
But Jackson is awesome. I'm super pumped to see him go in the second round. He had told me he was going to declare early before it was made public. And I was just like, dude, that's tight. And I had no idea at that moment, like, where's he going to go? But second round is unbelievable for a center. Unbelievable. Yep. I mean, this is... There was another center picked you can go either way with. I think that everyone thought Jackson was the best. It was what the scouts were saying. But what are your thoughts on Jackson to the Raiders? Las Vegas, baby. This is tight.
Yeah, I think he was from Duke Guyton. They took him just because he can play some other positions also. I think just that positional versatility is kind of what got him. But if I'm a team and I need a center, Jackson Powers Johnson was the guy I was going to go after. I was out driving the Uber last night, saw JPJ kind of walking in between Max's and Webfoot. They were both going off last night. He had a whole crowd of people around him. Just looked like he was having a great night. So shout out to him out there celebrating. I think this is a great pick for the Raiders. I'm curious who he's going to be snapping the ball to and how successful that player is going to be and how successful the Raiders will be overall as an organization. But very, very excited for JPJ. He's going to land in a spot where he can move right into a starting position. And I think he's going to be a mauler. He's going to absolutely be a mauler.
Yeah, you talk about what Jim Harbaugh saying, making a comment about, you know, the skill position can be on the offensive line. And Jackson is an example of that, where you'll see him as the center on a pole. You know, usually the guards do that. And he you know, on a sweep or whatnot, and he'll end up running down the field, and he is a big man, but he can move, you know. And
one of my favorite photos ever is that track line finish of JPJ over the goal line. I don't remember. I think it was Bucky running it in actually for the touchdown. But, yeah, he's a mauler out there.
Yeah, and, I mean, there was a touchdown that got pulled back in one of the games at the end of the season. I can't remember if it was the bowl game or what, but man, I was so bummed, because when an offensive lineman scores a touchdown, it makes my football, you know, mind happy.
But, yes, absolutely.
So Jackson, stoked to see it. Las Vegas Raiders. I don't care. He'll be on my Madden team regardless. I'm trading for him. So now the AFC West now has more than just the three, but three prominent names, two being quarterbacks, you know, Justin Herbert with the Chargers, Nix with the Broncos, and then JPJ with the Raiders. This is one of the things I wanted to talk before we get on to the second round of the draft. I wanted to talk about why this is a disappointing thing that the Pac-12 is going to be no longer as we know it, because we're losing things like this. I believe that there's a reason that this region is picking these players. It's because football is regional. It really is. And this is what we're going to lose with moving to the Big Ten conference, because, you know, when you look at the television, and it's all going to change, you know, with streaming and all that stuff. But as it is right now, the teams that we see are the Seahawks, the Chargers, the Raiders, for some stupid reason, the Cowboys, you know, but it's going to change. And there's a lot of times that they started showing more Chargers games here because of Herbert, because they knew the audience was going to watch it. Even the Titans at one point, they were doing that, and it didn't take off because, again, that team didn't do well. But I mean, when you look at the AFC West, it's loaded. What do you think about that? I mean, do you agree that football's regional, and these kind of things are what we're going to lose when we lose the Pac-12 as it is?
You know, I think it's, I mean, It's definitely regional. I mean, these guys live in this area. I mean, you see it even with the Carolina Panthers trading up to get a guy like Xavier Legette, you know, that played at South Carolina. You know, they saw him all the time. He probably had him in for some workouts. It's really easy to scout a guy when he's local. You know, we've all played, you know, and we're going to get to video games later, but we've all played, you know, video games. We've all played, you know, NCAA football, and we know we have to spend less points when the kid comes from Oregon. You know what I mean? So it's just, it makes it a little bit easier to recruit that kid. And it's no different for the NFL. It takes less resources to scout a kid that's close to you. I think it also just comes down to personalities, and some of that personality stuff is a little regional at times also.
Sure.
So there's definitely some elements there to be taken into consideration. But as a Duck fan, you got to be excited. You definitely got to be excited to see Bo go to a team that's probably going to get some games here televised. He's going to be able to compete for that starting job. So we could have two starting quarterbacks in the AFC West. Got to be excited for JPJ, like I said, moving into a starting position there with the Raiders. So we're going to have a lot of Ducks to be able to watch on Sundays.
I know that the early rounds, you can't really get into the analytics to this level late because it happens so quick and so many players are flying off the board. But when you're talking about your top 15 pick, everything gets broken down. Like, they're breaking down the marketability of the player. Yeah. And it could be a defensive end. It could be a cornerback play, positions that people think don't get the same hype. They're wrong. That's where marketability comes into play. And that's what I'm talking about with this. With the region and the AFC West, you know, pickers prove that they like what they're seeing in Oregon. You know, and that's not, I mean, that's not probably going to be happening for a team in Tennessee the same. And now, of course, there's access, but there's also time change. You know, I mean, as far as why it's regional, because, you know, we're 3 hours late. Our games sometimes start at 7 p.m. our time. That's kicking off at 10 p.m. on the East Coast. And these scouts are just like me and you. Just because there is information doesn't mean that they're accessing it. You know, they're just individuals that can do their job poorly. So it's just one of those things. But it'll be interesting to see. There's always changes, and we're also going to be playing a slate of teams that we've never had to match up, which is going to be interesting. Seeing Ohio State and Michigan State in consecutive weeks is going to be a lot of fun. So now day two of the draft. This one was awesome. Also going to Denver was Bo Nix's wide receiver, Troy Franklin, at the 102nd pick. I think it's super cool that Denver showed that they're like, you know, we're going to get you. You're our guy, and we're going to get you your guy. You know, and so talk about that a little bit.
Well, and shout out Des Bryant out there on Twitter talking about how Troy Franklin's the steal of the draft. He was in Sean Payton's ear telling him to draft Troy Franklin. So Bo is not the only fan out there trying to get Troy Franklin to be a Denver Bronco. I think it's a great pick. I am shocked that Troy fell this far. I think that there's some interesting stories going out there on the Twitterverse about why he fell so far. Some of those I'm just inclined to, you know, push to the side because a lot of it's clickbait. But there was some stuff about character. There was some stuff about, you know, does he love the game? So those are things that, you know, when GMs hear that kind of stuff, that's, you know, that's their kryptonite. You know, they don't want to think about a kid that doesn't love football. Oh, he has outside interest. He loves other things other than football. It's, oh my gosh, no.
Different sport, you know, but Jaylen Brown, they had a knock when he was drafted. Different sport, but they said, you know, is he too cerebral? Is he too intelligent of a person? It's like, what do you think about everyone else? You
know, Caleb Williams, the number one pick, they're giving the kid a hard time because he paints his nails.
I don't like that. No, I'm just joking.
Well, it's a different time,
I'm
man.
I'm kidding. I don't care. I paint my nails. We used to use Sharpie.
Right, exactly.
I was just kidding. I just don't like Caleb Williams. No. Troy Franklin, though, it's a huge pick. I think you're totally dead on. I think it's going to be awesome. It'll be interesting to see how quick it takes Bo Nix to get the starting job. Because, I mean, he's going to be matching up against Zach Wilson. And so I think that he already has it. We'll see what happens. Maybe they put Zach Wilson out there to die. But
They might give Bo a couple weeks to develop, but I mean, I think it's going to be a true competition.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But, you know, that was at 102 is when Troy Franklin went. A couple picks later, between 108 and 111, three out of the four picks were Oregon Ducks. We had Kyrie Jackson went to the Vikings at 108. Edge rusher Brandon Dorlus went to the Falcons at 109. And then Evan Williams went to the Packers at 111. Just on these three picks, these are huge. This is just an example of what is now in University of Oregon. There's not really much of at these positions that these guys are going, linebackers and whatnot. They're not going to go higher. You know, they're not going to go higher in the fourth round. So these are top tier, you know, players in the NFL at this point. Talk to me about what you think about that. I think especially Brandon Dorlus is a name that got a lot of headlines. He's an absolute stud, you know, and going to the Falcons.
Dorlus is a stud. Had him in the Uber before he left. Great guy. I think he's going to be a great fit. I mean, we talked about how much the Falcons, you know, needed edge. They're one of the worst pass rush teams over the last 5 years in the NFL. They have just some absolute horrific stats when it comes to getting sacks and pressure on the quarterback. So I think he can be a big factor there. The player I actually like the most out of that group, though, is Kyrie Jackson.
He's a defensive
6 foot four, defensive back. Yeah,
so
played corner
tall,
for the Ducks. Yeah, he's got a lot of length. He's got, you know, this is, as a Seahawks fan, I hate to even put this out there, but he's got a little Richard Sherman in him.
Okay.
You know, and I think, I don't know if he can, you know, live up to being an, you know, a Pro Bowler, perennially, you know, an all-pro type player, but I think he's going to be a starter. I think he's going to make his way into that starting rotation for the Vikings, and I think he's going to be a darn good player.
Yeah, yeah. So, now, that was in the early, in the fourth round, not that much farther down, a little later in the fourth, pick 125. Our boy Bucky Irving, running back. When a running back is picked in the fourth round, again, this is about where they go. This is where they start to come off the board, because running backs now are treated as a dime a dozen. They're the position that is now bringing in the least amount of money compared to what actual work it takes to earn it. You know, I mean, they are just replaced like nothing. So I was kind of impressed to see Bucky go in the fourth round. I think he's a stud, but I thought it wouldn't be shocking to see him go in the fifth, sixth, or undrafted. So fourth round, I think, is great. What are your thoughts on Bucky going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, by the way? He's Bucky to the Bucs.
Bucky to the Bucs. I mean, he's going to be the second stringer there behind Rashad White. Going to be given opportunity, I bet, to compete for some touches, compete for the starting job. They kind of project him as a little bit of a third down back in the NFL, you know, pass catcher, pass blocking, you know, draw plays, things like that. I think Bucky has a great potential. I mean, if you're in a dynasty draft, I think Bucky's a great player to target kind of in that middle, the second round, third round of your dynasty rookie draft, because I think he is going to get some touches, especially if it's a PPR league. I think he's going to be able to get some receptions. Again, Bucky's another kid I had in the Uber, a great kid, very, very sure of himself. We'll just say that about Bucky Irving. Bucky is very, very sure of himself. So he's going to bet on himself here. And I think he's got a great opportunity to really get some touches and to compete for that starting job behind a decent offensive line. We'll see how well that offense continues to plug away with Baker Mayfield as the quarterback. But I think he's got a good chance.
Yeah. And Baker Mayfield stepped up last year, but that's going to be a pretty tiny backfield. It'll be interesting. I know that the Buccaneers fans do have a memory of an undersized running back with a huge heart from Oregon State, Jaquizz Rodgers. He was a stud there for many years.
Yeah. Tiny running backs have been successful. I mean, Warrick Dunn, you know, going back to other guys that are, you know, diminutive and doing that. I do want to give a little bit of love to Oregon transfer Trey Benson, also, who got drafted, I think, in that fourth round to the Cardinals. Another guy that if you're in a fantasy draft, definitely target him in that second round, third round area. Absolute stud, opportunity to compete for the starting job there in Arizona. So shout out Trey Benson also.
That's awesome. So we're not going to get into it today, but the last pick in the top seven rounds was in the sixth round, linebacker Jamal Hill. What we're not going to get into is the undrafted players. You can mention a couple if you'd like. I just didn't take any notes on it, but I do want to mention that two stats. The first one is that in the last 5 years, there's been 11 offensive and defensive linemen picked from the University of Oregon. Is this where we should give credit to Miami coach Mario Cristobal, or is this just the program standard moving forward? You know, because this was not something we would see at U of O. Defensive and offensive linemen. We have seen offensive linemen, so that's not completely true. But 11 in 5 years to make the draft is a big deal. And that, you know, is a lot of the redeveloping. I think Mario put us in a direction for Big Ten football, even though he may not have known that was what was coming. But, is this the standard moving forward?
I think it is the standard moving forward with Dan Lanning at the helm. I think he invests in the trenches. I think we do have to give, you know, just the smidgest about a love to Mario for kind of building that foundation, not only when he was, you know, the head coach, but also when he was the offensive line coach.
That's
you know, and really in
built the culture,
that mindset. You know? It built the culture to some degree for sure. But guys like Tosh Lapoy and Dan have taken that and really, really run with it, especially like you said, on the defensive side. I know we're going to talk about the spring game a little bit later, but that's one element that I am really excited about. And I think you're seeing just the caliber of player, the caliber of living room that Oregon's been able to get into over the last few years to talk to these kids has changed. You know, I mean, Jackson Powers Johnson was not a five-star kid, but he developed while he was here. And so to show those kids that even if you are a three-star, four-star, you can get developed, you can make it to the league here playing at Oregon, which, like you said, is something that wasn't really considered earlier. I mean, we had guys like Haloti Ngata, Igor Olshansky, but I mean, we're going deep into the years.
It was few and far between. I mean, I remember days where our number one receiver was a guy like Keenan Howery, I loved Keenan Howery, but Keenan Howery was going to have to fight to make a CFL team. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just a totally different world. Eight players drafted from the Oregon Ducks, 8-1 draft in 7 rounds is wild. And not to mention undrafted free agents. Like I mentioned, I think that I've already read that there's 5 or 6 that have been picked up. So there's quite a few. You know, we're officially recruiting players who not only contribute at the next level, but make an impact right away. Yep. I mean, you look at Christian Gonzalez for the Patriots. Before he went down, he's a he's top tier cornerback in the NFL as a rookie. You know, and we could go on a list. I mean, defensive linemen, there's been a bunch. You know, you look at in the Super Bowl, you had Eric Armstead. You know, there's been a lot lately. You mentioned Haloti Ngata,
DeForest
Buckner. They both played in the game. And Haloti is a Hall of Famer, you know, but that goes back a while. You know, what do you think the number one reason? Dan Lanning is a huge part of our recruiting. Obviously, you know, it's the university that has this huge ability to recruit now. What is the number one reason that you think that this change in getting NFL caliber players, you know, what do you think it really is?
I mean, it's cliche to say, but it all stems from Dan. You know, I think it comes down to his charisma, his integrity, and his ability to go into these living rooms and talk to these parents and look them in the eye and not only get into the living room, but then close while he's there. And I know he's not the only guy out there recruiting. I mean, Oregon has an incredible staff of guys. I've already mentioned Tosh Lupoy, who's a ravenous recruiter, bringing in Rashad Samples, you know, the new running back coach. I mean, there's a lot of guys on this staff that can really go out and recruit their butts off. But I think that's been the biggest thing is just the ability for him to look at those parents in the eye and say, hey, we're building something special here and I'm going to be around to see it come to fruition.
Yeah.
I mean, he had an opportunity to take maybe the best job in college football this summer, you know, this last year, passed it up and has decided to stay here. You know, the grass, you know, is very green here in Eugene.
The grass is damn green in Eugene. That's correct. The grass is damn green in Eugene. And I mean, with recruiting for Dan Lanning, there's becoming a tradition now that on big days, he posts a picture just with him with a big cigar saying the grass is damn green in Eugene, talking about, you know, basically just getting it done. Today was a good day by Ice Cube, you know, and I think that the swagger combined with being a family man, with being a really, really considerate human being, you know, we're talking about Dan Lanning, the coach of the Ducks here, that I think people see, the kids see the swagger, the parents seen the family man, you know, and both of them equally see how genuine he is as a human being.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's why it's so exciting. Now, I threw a bone to Mario Cristobal by giving him some credit about recruiting, and I think he deserves it. But at the end of the day, it was pretty clear that his heart was in Miami, and that's okay. That's where his heart's from, you know, so... Just like Matt Carney at the spring game, our hearts are in Oregon, and so we want somebody that you don't have to be born here, but you want to have to. We want you to want to be here, you know. And Dan Lanning has said, like you said, he turned down an offer to go to Alabama, which you couldn't pay me to live in Alabama. But that being said, it's like you said, it's one of the best programs in sports. Period. You know, it's the college football program. At Alabama. So when he turned that down, it was pretty telling. And it's like, why would anyone want to follow up a coaching job like Nick Saban? You know, I don't understand why anyone would want that Alabama job, because you have to win 11 or 12 games or you're a fraud, you know, and that's just a lot. So
Well, and Kalen DeBoer is finding out real quick how difficult that job is, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And that Alabama hiring of Washington's old coach destroyed what I think it destroyed Alabama and Washington at the same time. So I think that that's
beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing. I love it. So Dylan Gabriel, Dante Moore are the new quarterbacks. Our quarterback room is experienced. We've got, you know, people that have graced the cover of Sports Illustrated equally. I think both of them have, you know, and I think that that's a telling thing. What are your thoughts on those two quarterbacks? Everybody's saying it's Dylan Gabriel that's going to get the job, but I still think that there's a competition. I think that even Dante Moore has said he knows that it's going to be him in the backup role, which I think is really cool that they're being clear about that from the gate, and he seems supportive of that. But what are your thoughts? Did you watch a little bit in the spring game of the two quarterbacks? They're not going to show you too much, but you know about these players because Dylan Gabriel played at Oklahoma. Dante Moore originally had a cup of coffee with us. He had, he committed to Oregon and then he left and went and played with Chip Kelly at UCLA. And Chip Kelly's no longer there anymore. So I think, I mean, he's at Ohio State, which is wild. But, we can't get away from that guy either.
Never can escape him.
What are your thoughts on the two new quarterbacks?
I like them both a lot for different reasons. I think Dante coming in and really being humble enough to say, hey, I wasn't very good last year. I want to go somewhere where I can develop. I want to sit for a little while. I want to be able to watch the game and learn and, you know, develop my IQ, I think is just says so much about the young man. So just love having a guy like that in your quarterback room. I think Dylan has an opportunity to be really special. He's a lefty coming out of Oklahoma, put up some big time statistics with some lesser talent. But I think with the weapons that he has around him, he's in a position to, again, I mean, I talked about this with Bo Nix a lot. All you got to do is play point guard, just distribute the ball, just get the ball out there quickly, let your playmakers make plays. With that said, I did go to the spring game. You know, it was a great environment. Love seeing all those Flockers and Duck fans out there in Autzen Stadium. It's always a good day to be at Autzen. Things were sloppy. Things were very sloppy early on, missed a couple deep shots, looked like he was a little inaccurate, still trying to get on the same page with some of his guys. It's just the spring game, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, things are going to clean up. Things are going to get better. And I think he's going to develop much better chemistry with those guys. But, I mean, he has so many weapons. I mean, Tez Johnson, Evan Stewart, Trayshawn Holden, Terrence Ferguson, the running back room, Jordan James. I mean, this team is absolutely loaded. And I'm going to be really curious to see just how quickly they can get that chemistry going. Because once they do, the ceiling is the roof.
Yeah. Yeah, Tez Johnson, that was a lot of words that you said after, and you didn't mention that he is Bo Nix's brother from another mother. Because I think that as far as commentating, you're required to say that within like one word.
So, well, and he had a great thing. He went viral on Twitter because he fell asleep on Bo's couch during the draft day. Right, so yeah. That was just absolutely
again,
great.
Like, they talk about Tez Johnson as if he is Bo Nix's like pocket protector, he keeps him with him at all times.
Yep, and he's gonna be a Bronco next year.
He will be on the Broncos. Yeah, it could be practice squad, could be water boy. But the commentators, when you watch football next year, if you didn't catch on this, I don't know how, but if you're watching a game, you'll have to notice that they're Tez Johnson, who is Bo Nix's brother, but as you can tell, mm-hmm. he's African American. He was adopted, and it's just ugh, the way they can't stop with it. I didn't watch a ton of the spring game because, like you had said, it's the spring game. And the spring game is for two things. College kids, like drunk college kids and children. It's a weird combination. So somehow just make sure that when you bring a family that you sit far away from the student section because the student section grows during the spring game.
Yes, it does.
And so it's a great event. It's free. I don't think I'm going to go again because in years past, what I've noticed is that you want to watch the first 20 minutes of the spring game and you're going to get all of the tidbits, all the good information. And I did that and that's why we're here talking about it. But I don't know. Maybe I'm spoiled, but I will say I went to Detroit last week and I went to a Tigers game and there was absolutely far less people at a Tigers game in Detroit in a massive stadium in a huge city than there is at any spring game that the Ducks have had. The Ducks bring in 45,000 plus, 40,000 plus, somewhere in that range, to every spring game that's like three quarters of the way full, you know, and it's pretty amazing how much we love our Ducks. So
it really is. I mean, it's the only show going here in Eugene, so it's nice to see people get out there and support. And it is. You know, we mainly left because I had to get to work. You know, we had some other obligations going on. I wish I could have stayed. I did hear there were some good things that happened in the second half. I'm really excited about Luke Moga. It's a kid out of Arizona.
You left early, so the reason that the Ducks lost is because of you, but also the reason that they won is because of you. So,
of course, yeah, I get both sides of it for sure.
Right. So what are you the most excited about moving forward with Oregon football?
Man, the move to the Big Ten is exciting. I hated it. You know, when it initially came out, it broke my heart in a lot of different ways to see the Pac-12, you know, just get absolutely eviscerated the way that it did. But I think this is an exciting move, and I think this is an opportunity. I think this is a great opportunity for Oregon to go out there and stamp their place, you know, as a national program with pedigree. And really show that, you know, the last few years have not been a fluke, to show that Dan Lanning is really the man. And this is just a great opportunity. I mean, when you actually look at the field and kind of break things down, how can you not be excited about Evan Stewart? You know, a kid coming in from Texas A&M, going to be really exciting to see out there on the field. You got young players like Kenyon Sadiq at the tight end position, which I think I'm really excited about. Jurion Dickey, you know, guys that are a little deeper on the depth chart, but I think can make a big impact as the season goes along. So this is maybe the most talented team from top to bottom that we've ever seen at Oregon. So again, I said it once, I'll say it again. The ceiling is the roof.
Yeah, I agree. And there's two things I'm excited about moving forward. The college football video game is going to be massive, and it's going to change. The two things that I'm excited about both kind of include the game, but the 12-team playoff is going to be something that I'm super excited with, because I think that we are in that top 12, definitely top 10, top 8 probably for the Ducks as far as a team and a program. So top 12, we're going to be in that conversation every single year. And I think that it's going to make it to where you might lose a game. It's not going to destroy your life a little bit differently. They're also playing too many games. That's a different conversation. But as far as the video game, I have gotten some information about some exciting new features on this game that we, you know, the game hasn't happened since 2014 because of the players, you know, needing to work out the NIL situation and how they're going to pay
the players. The O'Bannon brothers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. From Ed and Charles O'Bannon from UCLA. They were like, why am I on the cover of a game that I didn't get paid to be on?
Not getting money anymore.
You know, what we know now, 12,000 plus players have given the okay to use their likeness. They get $600 and a copy of the game for being used in the game of their likeness. I'm hearing that in the game itself, one of the features on Dynasty Mode is that you can actually spend money on NIL money on players. I have a feeling that this is going to be where they take our real money in microtransactions. I'm not sure if I'm going to like that. We'll see how it plays out. But one of the things I mentioned, the 12-game playoff and why I'm excited, that's in real life. 12-game playoff starts next year. The video game reflects that. But also what I read is that they're going to give you a chance to have custom conferences. So you can do what you want. And I love this because, for one, I've played college football video games back in the day so long that you get kind of, it gets tedious. And with sports games, what you need is customization. Yes. When they give you customization to rework it, because I would love to redo the Pac-12. You know, I mean, I'm going to mess around with all the different scenarios and all the different things, because what the college football planners and NCAA as a whole, what they benefit from having a video game is that they have people like myself beta testing what would work for college football, because then we're going to go to Reddit and we're going to go to whatever you call Twitter now. I call it the dead space, but but they're going to go there and they're going to say, I tried this scenario and this is amazing, and try this. And I shit you not, that stuff actually matters, because there's going to be people that now have ownership over what's happening in college football. And I know for me personally, the fact that the players are programmed in, I used to spend hours programming the rosters and selling memory cards with the names. 12,000 players are going to be in this game programmed. Of course, they're going to have some multiple faces and stuff, because 12,000 people is a lot, but we'll see. I'm super excited. Now, it is EA Sports, and so they will find ways to ruin stuff, but everything that I've read so far, there's going to be a lot of customization. You can make a custom team, you know, and you can change conferences, and that's really exciting. And the playoff, 2014 game didn't have a playoff, so, you know, it's going to be pretty cool.
I'm excited to finally, I mean, I might retire the PlayStation 2 out of the living room now.
The PlayStation 2?
have kept it out there to be able to play, you know, NCAA football 2014, you know, every once in a while, it's nice to be able to pull it out. But with the new game coming out, we might have to finally retire it out of the living room.
I didn't know that a PlayStation 2 existed. I would imagine that they would.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. Now, you know, I actually have Tech Mobile hooked up in my living room on a Nintendo, which there is hilarious, but yeah. I don't play it. It's completely for looks. No. So, well, Justin Pluid, Coach Justin, thank you so much for coming on and talking to me. Yeah, man, this has been a really cool weekend for Oregon sports. You know, I don't know who won the marathon. I don't know if we actually celebrate those names, but it is, congrats to everybody running the marathon. That seems like a horrible way to spend your day, but I think it's an impressive feat for whatever reason that people run. I remember last year in the marathon, this woman was like, I don't understand why this is a big deal. What is it running a marathon? It's on Facebook. She's like, what does running a marathon do for if your friend dies from, you know, some harsh illness? And I saw this really interesting conversation where someone's like, actually what it does is it gives me this perseverance reminder, you know. And then she was really cool, you know, but Facebook, sometimes it's like, it's hilarious when people say stuff, but
Bookface is an interesting place, that's for sure. But yeah, shout out to those people that went and ran 26 miles for fun.
It sounds awful.
Shout out you.
Yeah, I don't think I've ran that much in my entire life, but it's huge in Eugene, and also it rained a bunch for that weekend, so it's perfect for it, you know, wet and sloshy. But
yeah,
anyway, we're gonna get out of here. You know, go Ducks for sure. You can find out about some of the undrafted picks if you just Google it. Yeah, Coach Justin Pluid, congrats on your engagement, getting married early May. That's pretty exciting stuff.
Appreciate you, man. Yeah, thanks for having me. And yeah, go check out the Flock Pod for all of your Duck football and basketball needs.
Yeah, the Flock Pod is on YouTube. It's on you know, all streaming platforms. So Google that. Look for that. Also, if you'd like to donate to the Spend the Rent podcast, you can go to strpod.com. All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Have a good one.
We're going to end this with a song. This is Ender One with Zombie.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Joey Kaufman, Ender One. I know people have been saying that hip-hop is dead, rap is dead. They've been saying that shit for years, but I promise you it's there if you look for it. Before AI tries to replace us all, listen. Just know real artists are better than any copy, cause I'll take your job too. Uh-huh. Similar to CPU, cause I follow certain codes and don't rely on anybody. See, I'm touching real hearts, what they want them on social media.
Like,
it's funny how they only excel on phony mediums. It's not that I'm too big, I just don't agree with them. That's why I never fit in, like clothes when I'm squeezing in. I'm chose for a reason, to expose everything and make my lane wherever I want. Like I drove on the median, but I'm just an MC. Uh-huh. Like the Army in 93, yeah. I don't need to go commercial to be all that I can be. See, my run will never be over till they amputate both my feet. All these rappers know that I'm sober. Ain't nobody really wanna smoke with me. To my OGs, I'm a no G. I'm not no sheep, I'm known to lead. When a culture needs a hope to breathe, I hope to bring some oats and seeds to plant new ideas for these blue-eyed kids. No matter who that is, to let boom bap live. Fuck a new tactic, I don't do bad shit just to prove that I'm hip. My shit is good as is. I'm here to whoop ass is and show these new jack kids. Before you move that brick, this is what true rap is. And it's not what's popular, see, it's lyrical, not just wordy. I was meant to grab a pen and pad, almost like God referred me. I step on every stage like a job and clock it early. Rappers look shook, wanna know why I'm not as worried. Wanna know the only reason I don't step inside a label and take out your whole fucking roster? Lot of mercy. Knew I was crazy the day that my mama birthed me. Doctor said, what the f***? I guess that it kinda cursed me. If I paid you attention, you should reimburse me. My biggest competition now is me versus me. See, things changed since I went on tour with Mercules. Came back kind of a big deal, Ron Burgundy. If rap is dead, then I'm the vulture circling. Life's a bitch, so I fuck her till her throat is gurgling. That is no hyperbole, these are more than just words to me. I don't need to ride nobody's wave to make my own currency. Get it, currency, how I'm flowing currently is killing tracks like a murder spree in the first degree. You like Cardi B, I like Percy P. That's the difference, till they carton me into emergency, I stand on business. While you sat and listened in school about photosynthesis, I saw third eye visions while learning who hieroglyphics is. Everything these rappers are, I am the antithesis. So I will not explain between the bars, no parenthesis.
Or is it parentheses? Fuck. Sounded kind of cool though, right?